Okay, today's daf is Pesachim daf Nun. Hey, we left off on daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis. We are at the very beginning of the wide lines. On daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis, we're still discussing comparing and contrasting Tisha B'Av to Yom HaKippurim, as well as Tisha B'Av to other Tanias Tzibor. The Gemara at the very end of Nun Dalet Amud Beis is going to discuss what the halacha is in terms of washing on Tisha B'Av, whether it's more like Yom Kippur or more like Tanias Tzibor. Then we're going to get into a whole discussion of Yuhara, whether a person is allowed to be machmir on themselves when they're not quite necessarily on the madrega of someone who maybe should be machmir. And then the Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to, and the Gemara following it is going to discuss whether doing malacha on Erev Pesach is really a minhag related issue, or is that a halacha that you're not allowed to do malacha on Erev Pesach. The next Mishnah is going to distinguish between work that began before Erev Pesach and work that begins on Erev Pesach. Could be that you're allowed to finish up a job that you have previously started, but not allowed to start something new. And then at the end of the daf, we're going to discuss specific malachos, replacing a hen that's no longer on its eggs, sweeping under the feet of animals, bringing things to a craftsman, both on Erev Pesach and on Chol HaMoed. So a lot of dinim of malacha of Erev Pesach, and at the end, a little bit about Chol HaMoed as well. Just one quick vart before we begin. At the very end of yesterday's shir, we mentioned this idea of Ulevai Sheispal Adam V'Holich Kol HaYom Kulo, that halavai, a person should daven all day long. I once heard a cute idea from the B'Shem the Chassam Sofer, I heard from Rav Shai Shechter, B'Shem the Chassam Sofer, that the Chassam Sofer says that a lot of times you have people who are very into learning during davening. Outside of the time of davening, not so into learning. If we wanted people to be Talmidei Chachamim, some people would need to daven all day if they were to become Talmidei Chachamim. Okay, thought it was a cute idea. So says the Gemara now, Meisvei, the first wide line. Meisvei, Ein Bein Tishbav Liyom HaKippurim El Shezesvek O Asr V'Zesvek O Mutter. There's no difference between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, except with regard to the halacha of a safek. So, Ma'is Veikom Motulav Bein Hashmashos Shelo, doesn't this mean to say that during Bein Hashmashos, the dinim of Tisha B'Av do not yet kick in? And this is against Rava and Rabbi Yochanan, we learned yesterday, that hold that the dinim of Tisha B'Av do kick in already Bein Hashmashos? Some Rav Shishmei Davidi, lo, l'kviya diyarcha. No, maybe when we say Sveiko, we're not talking about Bein Hashmashos, we're talking about when we have a safek, which day is actually Tisha B'Av, and that as we mentioned yesterday, we could be Mekel. So halakol devreim zevizah shavin. But otherwise, everything else is equal. So Rash says milsa ban pinafsha. This is a new issue that when we talk about Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, they are otherwise completely equal. So mesayel Rabbi Lazar, Damer Rabbi Lazar, asal aladim shioshet zbo b'mayim b'Tisha B'Av k'darik shasal hoshet zbo b'yom Kippurim. This would fit very nicely with what Rabbi Lazar says, that a person on Tisha B'Av is not even allowed to stick his finger into water, the same way one is not allowed to stick his finger into water on Yom HaKippurim, that the Isra of bathing includes even the tiniest parts of one's body. So says Gemara Meisvei, but I'll ask otherwise. Ein bein Tisha B'Av l'tainis tzibur, ela shezeh osr basiyas melacha v'zeh mutar basiyas melacha. We have another brisa that says that the only difference between Tisha B'Av and other tainis tzibur is that is in regard to the Isra melacha b'makom shenagu. Halakol devreim zeh v'zeh shavin, implying that otherwise, certainly in terms of bathing, Tainis Tzibur and Tisha B'Av have the same din. And what's the din of bathing by Tainis Tzibur? Vilga by Tainis Tzibur, Tanya, Kesham Ruasar Birchitza, Lo Amru El Kol Gufo, Avalpanik Vyadav Raglav Lo. There is an issue to bathe on Tainis Tzibur, but that's only if you're going to bathe your entire body. But to wash one's hands, face, and feet, that is perfectly mutter on a Tainis Tzibur. So now we have a stira between two brises. On the one hand, we have a brisa that says that Tisha B'Av is like Yom Kippur, which implies that even sticking a little finger into water is going to be a problem. On the other hand, we have a brisa that Tisha B'Av is just like a tainis tzibur, which would imply that you're allowed to wash significant parts of the body as long as you know you aren't rochets kol gufo. So which is it? Some Rav Papa Tana Kule Kule Katani, that the Tana is, I forgot to mention, today's shir is sponsored by Avi Rodin, L'zchusur for Shleim of Chaim Yosef Ben Rus. Again, Tana Kule Kule Katani. So the Tana tries to list the kulas, meaning the Tanaim that compared Tisha B'Av to both Yom Kippur and the Tanaim that compared it to the time of Sibur was only trying to highlight where we're more makel on Tisha B'Av than we are on that which we are comparing it to. But there are plenty of other differences that don't get mentioned in the Braisa where Tisha B'Av is going to be more machmir than the other days. So when we compare it to Yom Kippur and we are medayik that with regard to washing Tisha B'Av is just like Yom Kippur, that's actually true. With regard to washing, it is like Yom Kippur. When we compare it to Tainus Tzibur and we say, oh, with regard to washing, it must be just like Tainus Tzibur. No, with regard to washing, Tisha B'Av is more strict than the Tainus Tzibur. But there's no kunz in pointing that out. Tisha B'Av is a very strict day. It has a lot of chumras over a lot of other days. The whole thing we were trying to point out is that there's a certain kula that Tisha B'Av has over Tainus Tzibur. That's all these Tanayim are trying to do. But chumras, such as washing minor body parts, which is mutzer on Tainus Tzibur and asr on Tisha B'Av, that the Braisa doesn't have to spell out explicitly. That's obviously going to be the case. So ask the Tosos Chachmei Anglia, the Braisa that talks about the kulus of Tisha B'Av over Yom HaKippurim, why doesn't it quote the Isser of Asiyas Melacha, that Yom Kippur it's Asr to do Melacha, Tisha B'Av it's Mutr to do Melacha, Yom Kippur it's Yantif, Tisha B'Av many, many Melachos that you're not allowed to do on Yom Kippur, one is allowed to do on Tisha B'Av. If we're talking about all of the kulas, we're trying to give exhaustive lists of the kulas of Tisha B'Av versus that which we are contrasting it with. So by Yom Kippur, it should have mentioned Melacha. So the Tosfos Chachmei Anglia suggests what you have to say is that it's the same author of both Braises, that it's one Tana, and he's trying to say that the din of Tisha B'Av is only more kal than the din of Yom HaKippurim with regard to Safek. With regard to Asiyas Melacha, then it's not just more kal than Yom Kippur, it's even more kal than Tainus Tzibur. And obviously it's going to be more kal than Yom Kippur. I mean, you have to look at both prices together to really see what the, you know, to really get the full picture of what the Tana is trying to demonstrate to us. So says Gemara, "B'kol makom tamidei chacham." So the Mishnah had said, Tanakama had said in the Mishnah that tamidei chacham shenatu malacha on Tisha B'Av, and Rav Shimon Gamliel said that it is no problem of Yuara, anyone who wants to make himself a Talmud Chacham for this din and not to do malacha on Tisha B'Av is fully authorized to do so. So Rav Shimon Gamliel is not concerned about Yuara. The implication is the Tanakama is concerned about Yuara, that you have to be a legitimate Talmud Chacham in order to avoid Malacha on Tisha B'Av. So, frek the Gemara, the Meimer, the Meshum Gamliel, Savar, lo chayshin on the Yuara, v'rabban and Savri, chayshin on the Yuara. Should we assume that this is the general approach of these Tanaim, that Meshum Gamliel is not worried about Yuara, the Chacham are worried about Yuara? Why do we flip the order now? Now we're talking the Meshum Gamliel first, and then the Rabban, and should have said, the Meimer, the Rabban and Savri, chayshin on the Yuara, the Meshum Gamliel, lo chayshin the Yuara. So whatever stira you ever have in the Rabbanan, the Tzlach points out, any stira you ever have in a Shitas HaRabbanan is never going to be as strong a kasha as a stira in a specific Tana, because we know who Rav Shimon Gamliel is. But Rabbanan could mean any number of people, so it could be that it's not a stira, it's different Rabbanans in both places. So the Tzlach says we want to lead with the stronger kasha. So that's why we emphasize Rav Shimon Gamliel first. But anyway, where do we find the discussion of Yuara, where these Shitos seem to be the opposite? We learned in Maseches Brachos, Chasson im yirtzu likros kriya shema laila rishon kore. If a chasson wants to say kriya shema on the first night that he gets married, even though he's very distracted, but he thinks he's going to be able to focus, so let him go and say Kriya Shema perfectly fine. The Rabbanan are not worried that it looks like Yuara, that the person saying is Kilu, the person's declaring that he is capable of focus even on this very difficult to focus night. Rav Shimon Gamliel amar, lo kol harotzo litzol Hashem ito. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, not anyone could just declare themselves to be super focused and capable of saying Kriya Shema on the night that they get married. That's going to be a problem of Yuara. But bottom line is, you see, when it comes to Kriya Shema on the first night, the Rabbanon are not worried about Yuara. Rav Shimon Gamliel is worried about Yuara. Yet over here, by Melacha and Tisha B'Av, it's the opposite. So two approaches to how to answer this. Number one, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mechlefes Hashita. You have to switch around the Shitos. In whichever case, you have to switch around the Shitos to make Rav Shimon Gamliel conform and the Rabbanon, machlokas fit in both places. Second possible approach, Rav Shisha b'Rei Dravidi Amar, lo tebuch. You don't have to switch around any shitos. The Rabbanan lo kasha. It's not a stira in the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan are worried about Yuara when it comes to Malacha and Tishbav, but not when it comes to Kriyashma, because hacha kivin to kuli alma avdi Malacha vi'ihu lo avid mechzi ki Yuara. When is it going to look like Yuara? If the rest of the world is doing Malacha and this person's not doing Malacha, that's going to look like Yuara. Aval hasam kivin to kuli alma kari vi'ihu nami kari lo mechzi ki Yuara. But when it comes to chasun on the night of his wedding, the rest of the world is saying Kriyashma because they're not getting married. So all he's doing is acting like everybody else. It's much worse, Yuara, to act differently than everybody else than it is to act like everybody else. That's why the Chacham are not concerned about Yuara. Could be that's part of the definition of Yuara. Yuara is not just doing something that is beyond your level, but Yuara is drawing attention to yourself by behaving overtly differently than everybody else. Could be that would be how the Chacham define Yuara. And it's not a stira from Shimon Gamliel either. Hasamu to be inon kavana vanan sadi dolamasi kavni daite mechzi kiyuara. When it comes to the chumrah of saying kriyashma on the night of the wedding, well, we know in order to be able to kriyashma you need kavana, and if a guy is not able to have kavana, we know he's not able to have kavana, so that's yura. We know that he's not doing the mitzvah. Aval hacha lo mechzi kiyuara amri malachu delesle pochazi kam batani ikum b'shuka. But a person refraining from doing Malacha is never going to be Yuara because it doesn't even look like he's trying to do a mitzvah. It doesn't look like when a guy doesn't do Malacha, it just looks like he doesn't have any work to do. That does not necessarily give off the impression that he's trying to live up to religious standards that are beyond what he is normally capable of. Now, the Tiferes Yisrael and the Mishnayos in the second paragraph of Brachos raised the question of, forget about Yuara. Chasson on the first night of his wedding wants to say Kriyashma, so the Chacham said, if he wants to, let him go ahead and say Kriyashma. Forgetting about Yuara, don't we have a concept that Yerushalmi talks about that called a Pater Min HaDavar V'Oseh Nikra Hedyot? Anyone who's Pater from something and he chooses to do it anyway is considered to be a Hedyot, he's considered to be a fool, an idiot, for going ahead and doing something that he's Pater from doing. So why don't we say that that would be the case by the Chasson reading Kriyashma? So he suggests a Chiddush that that's only if after you do it, some sort of tzad kula comes out from it. But if there's no tzad kula that's going to come out from being machmir, meaning very often people think they're being machmir, they want to be machmir, they want to accept upon themselves chumras, but you always have to be careful of the chumra, because very often a chumra carries with it a kula on the other side. By being machmir on something, you end up being makil on something else. So that's where we say kalapatam adav velseo nikra hedyot. If it's in some way going to lead to a kula, what's the example? Where does Yerushalmi say kalapatam? It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah says that on sukkahs, if a person sits in the sukkah in the rain, so that's called a patam radav velseo nikra hedyot. If it's raining, you're patam from sukkah. So it's nikra hedyot sit in sukkah. So why is it over there that we say nikra hedyot? Where's the tzad kula? Because you have a din of ona yantif. You're supposed to be enjoying simchas yantif. You're supposed to be enjoying your yantif. You're going to be sitting there in the rain, you're not going to be enjoying the yantif at all. So it's a chumra in the dine sukkah that a person wants to take upon himself, but that's going to be a kula on the other side. It's going to be a kula in some other area of halacha. But by saying kriyashma, it's not a kula in anything. So that's why it's not an issue of kalapatim radav vasehu nikra hedyot. Now, in terms of what about bizmanazeh? Chasson reading kriyashma on the night of his wedding, bizmanazeh. We have this machlokas tanaim, bizmana mishnah. So there is a machlokas rishonim about how we deal with bizmanazeh. Tosos and Maseches Brachos and Daf Yud Zayin and Beis says that even though the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the lo kol arotz litolos Hashem yavo v'yitol, not anyone is allowed to just go ahead and say Kriya Shema. If we're not capable of focusing like most of us are not on the night of their wedding, then we should not say Kriya Shema. Tosos says, but nowadays that's all changed. Nowadays every chasson should say Kriya Shema. Why? Because the whole idea is that normally we have kavanah in Kriya Shema. On the night of our wedding, we're not going to be able to have kavanah. So it's Yuara to say that we're able to have kavanah. But nowadays we never have, no one really has proper kavanah in Kriya Shema to the level that we should, and therefore the chasson on the night of his wedding, if he were to not say Kriya Shema, it would be like he's saying, yeah, tonight's the night that I'm not able to have kavanah, but every other night I'm good, every other night I have perfect kavanah. So it's Yuara not to say Kriya Shema on the night of the wedding. That's how Tosfos understands. The Rambam says otherwise. The Rambam in Hilchos Kriyashma Perek Dalid, Kol Mishu Hu Potu Milikros Kriyashma Im Ratza Lahachmir Al Atzma Likros Korei Vlushate Daito Pnuyo Lav. If he wants to be Machmir to read when he's Potter, as long as he's focused, that's fine. Avul Im Hayaza Potter Milikros Mevual Eino Rashi Likros Yashiv Daito Lav. If a person is preoccupied, so he cannot say Kriyashma until he calms himself down. The Rambam is not mechalek between a chasson bismanenu versus a chasson bisman gemara. So the Ketzav Mishnah and all the mefarshim and the Rambam understand that the Rambam makes no distinction between our time and any other time. Now the Rambam writes, someone who's pater, if he wants to be machmir, as long as daito miyusheva solav, so he can. But if he's totally lacks focus, then he has to calm himself down. The Ravid is masig on the Rambam that if he's that if he's not able to focus, he shouldn't read Kriya Shema. Says the Ravid, what's the problem with reading Kriya Shema? Let's say, so what? If he's not focused, so he's not going to be yotzei the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. But there's no problem with saying the words of Kriya Shema. Whenever a person wants to say Shema, so he's kikori batori. You're saying psukim. There's nothing wrong with saying psukim in the Torah, even when a person is not focused. When it comes to tefillah, I understand. By tefillah, you're going to be saying all sorts of brachas levatala if you're not having any kavana by tefillah. That's a problem, to daven without any sort of kavana whatsoever. But by Kriya Shema, what's the big deal? So to be miyashiv, the Rambam, Migdalos points out, maybe the Rambam means to say, in terms of the Birchos Kriya Shema, to say Kriya Shema im Birchoseha. That's going to be a problem, because the Birchos Kriya Shema are going to be a bracha levatala. Other yeshuvim as well, but anyway, so that's one of the ways to be mitarets the Rambam. Good. So let's see the Gemara further now. New Mishnah. V'chamram b'Yehuda hayu osin malacha ba'arvei pesachim ad chatzos u'begalil lo yoy osin kalikah. V'cham say in Yehuda they would do malacha on Erev Pesach up until chatzos. In Galil they wouldn't do any malacha at all on Erev Pesach. Halayla, what about the night before Erev Pesach? Be'shamay osin be'sil matir nara neitzachama. Be'shamay would hold the night is osir. Be'sil would say no, night time is mutter, neitzachama is when the iser begins. What's the svara for each tzad to assume the night time is osir b'asiyas malacha mutter b'asiyas? So the Rishonim already point out that when it comes to Beishameh's Shita, that the nighttime is also, that's really self-understood where he's going to get that idea from. Normally, days that we have in Issa Malacha, the nighttime is also but Malacha also. Every Yontif, that's also to do Malacha. Every Shabbos also to do Malacha. So the Issa Malacha begins at night. That's the way the Jewish calendar works. So it's not so surprising that Beishameh would say the Issa Malacha of Erev Pesach begins at night. The Rishonim point out, what about Beis Hillel? So the Meiri and Mukhe Yosef, others point out that when it comes to Beis Hillel's idea that it only begins during the daytime, maybe that's similar to the dinim of Tainis, that many Tainios only begin during the day, so he'll learn the Yisra Malacha on Erev Pesach from a din of Tainis. So Frek the Tosas Yantif, now if you had to choose which Shita to follow, just based on logic, forgetting the names, you took away the names Beis Shammah and Beis Hillel, logically, which logic is more compelling, that the din of Yisra Malacha on Erev Yantiv should be like every other din of Yisra Malacha, that it should be like a din of some Tainios, of certain fast days. It seems much more compelling to say like the Beis Shammai. It seems like a much more logical approach to say like the Beis Shammai. Why would you compare it more to a Tainis? So some of the Acharim suggest that maybe when it comes to the Yalkut Birum of Yom Masifta, he quotes from the Lechem Shamayim, that maybe Beis Hillel means to say that we learn it not stam from Tainios, but there is a din tainis on the day of Erev Pesach itself. So maybe he assumes that the Yisra Malach on Erev Pesach relates to the tainis that one has on Erev Pesach. The Gemara is going to say later on, Daf Kuf Ches, that Rav Sheshes would sit betainis kol Erev Pesach. Every year, Erev Pesach, he would sit and fast. And the Gemara assumes that it's so that he doesn't forget to shech the Karban Pesach. So even though the Gemara concludes that it's because he was an istinis and he was preparing himself to eat that night, that's only Klape Rav Sheshes himself who lived after the Churban. But generally speaking, when there was a Beis HaMikdash, it could be that there was a din tainis because of the Karban Pesach that was brought that day. So we'd fast to remind ourselves to bring the Karban Pesach. And that's the same reason why we don't do Malacha on Erev Pesach. It serves as a reminder to bring the Karban Pesach. So if both dinim are for the same reason, it would seem that the timing of both dinim would be the same as well. The Rashash also asks on this biur that it relates to Tainus, if the reason of Heter Malacha on night is because it's similar to Tainus, we should have asked the Malacha like the Isra Achila B'Tainus only from Alos HaShachar, all the way from Alos HaShachar, not just from Netzachama. Why is Basil Matir doing Malacha all the way up until Netzachama? The Tainus begins already at Alos HaShachar. So Toz Yantus says a little differently. He says that Basil is based on the Yerushalmi, that the reason it's also to do Malacha on Erev Pesach is because it's not proper for a person to be doing Malacha while his carbon is being brought. So since the Yisra Malacha is based on the Shechitas HaPesach, so the timing has to follow the Shechitas HaPesach. And that's the Pashtus, that the Yisra Malacha is about Chag HaPesach. It's not about Erev Chag HaMatzos. It's really a din in the din of Erev Pesach itself. That Erev Pesach is itself the Chag HaPesach. It's the time of the bringing of the Karban Pesach. So that's why Bessel doesn't want to apply it to the night before. It's not the Chag HaPesach the night before. It's not the time of the bringing of the Karban Pesach the night before. Says Gemara Vayitin, Meikar Tanim and Haga Ulbitzov Tanis Surim. The last Mishnah on Daf Nun, we were talking about Minhagim. Not the last Mishnah, but a few Mishnahs ago, we talk about minhagim of not doing malacha on Erev Pesach, and our Mishnah doesn't talk about minhag. It says in Yehuda you osin, but it doesn't say anything about minhag. It sounds like we're talking about an iser to do malacha. Beishamay osrim from the laila. Beisil matirin. So is it minhag or is it iser? Am Rabbi Yochanan lo kasha. Harameir Harabi Yehuda. It's actually a machlokes tanaim whether the issue of malacha on Erev Pesach is a minhag issue or an iser issue. D'tanya Am Rabbi Yehuda. Yehuda, you also malacha barvei pesach mer chatzos, but Galil they didn't also kalikir. In Yehuda, they would do malacha until chatzos, but Galil they would not do malacha even prior to chatzos. Amala Rameir, Maraya, Yehuda v'Galil l'kan. What does Yehuda v'Galil have to do with our place? El makom shenagu lasos malacha osin, makom shenagu shalol lasos ein osin. No, wherever the minhag is, you follow the minhag. So midakam Rabbi Meir minhaga l'chad Rabbi Yehuda isura kamar. From the fact that Rameir is the only novel idea Rameir introduced is the word minhag. Rabbi Yehuda said also that in certain places they do malach up until X, up until Chatzos, other places they don't. So what did Rabbi Meir say different than Rabbi Yehuda? So it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Iker idea of not doing malach on Erev Pesach is an Isser issue, not a minhag issue. V'sav Rabbi Yehuda arba'as or mutter ba'asiyas malach, but wait a second. Does Rabbi Yehuda hold that it's mutter to do malach on Erev Pesach? V'atani Rabbi Yehuda amir ha-menachish b'shlosh ha-asar v'nek Rabbi that if a person has to plant something on the 13th day of Nisan, why is it so critical to get it planted on the 13th? The guy is busy, he's weeding his field, and some plant gets uprooted, but he needs it to take root soon. It's the 13th day of Nisan. Why? Because the Karban Omer is going to be brought on the second day of Pesach, and when the Karban Omer is brought, any grain that has already taken root is going to become mutter, but any grain that has not yet taken root is not going to be mutter, it's going to be chadash until next year's Karban Omer. So he needs this to take root right now. So he's going to plant it, he's going to replant it on the 13th, plant it in a moist area where it will take root more quickly. The implication is he's not going to be able to plant it on Erev Pesach. 13th day of Nisan is his last chance to get it planted. Well, why? Michli Shamin le Rabbi Yehuda Domer Kalar Kavashena Kolatas Shosh Yamim Shuvena Kolatas. We assume that it takes 3 days for something to take root. So why can't he plant it on the 14th? He'll have the 14th, 15th, and 16th. 16th is when the Karban Omer is brought. Vishal Kadaita Karbaasar Motabasias Malacha Lamali Shoshasar Vikar Besar Chamesar Mixashitzar. Why can't he plant it on the 14th? He'll get his 3 days. It will take root. The Karban Omer will be matirit. Why is Rabbi Yehuda fixated on getting this done on the 13th? He has another day. So says Gemara, two possible answers. If Malacha were mutter on Erev Pesach, if it's usher on Erev Pesach, you understand very well. You can't plant it on the 14th because you can't do Malacha. It's not a din in Chadash, it's a din in Malacha. So this seems to be a raya that it's usher to do Malacha on the 14th. Says Gemara, no, two answers. Number one, Amarava beGalil Shanu, that we're talking in the Galil where their minig is that they don't do Malacha on Erev Pesach. Vayikalele, day, but even in Galil, according to the Beis Hillel, you could do the Malacha the night of the 14th. Why do you have to get it done on the 13th? So either Amar Rav Sheshes Kebei Shammai, we're assuming like Bei Shammai that the night time is Aser, or more likely Rav Ashi Amar Leolim Kebei Hillel Vishen Darkon Shel Bnei Adam Nachesh Belayla, that it's just not normal to plant during the night time. So we're going with the most common cases when you're going to plant during the daytime. So you want to choose which day to plant. You got to get it done on the 13th, not on the 14th, if you're in a place where the minig is that you don't do malacha on the 14th. Second approach, though, is Ravina Amar Leolim Be Yehuda, that maybe we're even talking in Yehuda. Ubahashrasha Chad Mixiyom Kekulu Amrinan Tre Mixiyom Kekulu Lo Amrinan. And in a chinami, it takes 3 days for a plant to take root, but that, and we can apply Mixiyom Kekulu to be mashlim the 3 days, to make up the 3 days, that it could even be part of 1 day. It doesn't have to be 3 full 24-hour periods, but you can't say 2 Mixiyom Kekulos. So if you're going to plant it on the 14th, you're already planting it a few hours into the day on the 14th, so you don't have the full day of the 14th. You do have the full day of the 15th, but you don't have the full day of the 16th either, because the Korban Omer is brought early on in the 16th. So you're going to say 2 Mixiyom Kekulos on both ends, it's not going to be able to take root. L'chora, what it should have said is that there's a certain number of hours that it takes, meaning it seems to be a Mitzias that's dependent on hours. The Achronim point out that it clearly does not say that, meaning one could have said, as long as it's more than 48 hours, right? If it's 48 plus, so you have 2 full days, plus Mixiyom Kekula. If you're going to say the term Mixiyom Kekula, certainly when you have 2 full days plus a little bit more, but it doesn't seem that that's the case. It doesn't seem, even if you plant very early in the day on the 14th, it doesn't seem that we're going to say 48 hours plus Mixiyom Kekula. For whatever reason, we assume this is Tully in the din of Yom versus a given number of hours. Not so clear why that should be the case, but that's what it seems to be. Okay, next Mishnah. Rameir Omer, Kol Malacha Shehiskel Ba'Kodem L'Arba Asar, Gomer Ba'Arba Asar. Any Malacha that a person began before Erev Pesach, he can finish on Erev Pesach. Avalo Yaskel Ba'Bitchil Ba'Arba Asar, Afal Pi Shiachol Gomer. But don't start a job on Erev Pesach, even if you're confident you'll be able to finish it before Pesach starts. You don't start doing something on Erev Pesach. V'Cham Omer, Gimel Umni Yososim Malacha Ba'Arvei Pesach Mar Chatzos. There are three types of work that a person is allowed to do, three professionals who may continue to do their work on Erev Pesach at least until Chatzos, ve'elu hein, hachayatin, the tailor, v'asaparim, the barber, v'akovsin, and the launderer. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afratzanin, the shoemaker also is allowed to continue to do his work on Erev Pesach up until Chatzos. So says the Gemara, ibayiluhu. Three possible ways to understand our Mishnah. We said that you're allowed to begin malacha that you have begun prior to Erev Pesach, you can continue on Erev Pesach, but you're not allowed to begin a new malacha on Erev Pesach. So what kind of malacha are we talking about? L'tzorech ha-moed tenan, aval shalol l'tzorech ha-moed afil migmar nami lo? Are we talking about malacha that you're going to need for Yantif, but malacha that you won't need for Yantif, even if you began before Erev Pesach, you're not allowed to finish that off on Erev Pesach? If there's no sense in doing it today, you don't need it at all for Yantif. Ol dilmar, maybe second possibility, our Mishnah is about malachos that are not needed for Yantif. Aval Tzorech Eschuli Maskelinan, but something that is needed for Yantif, that you could even do, that you could even begin such a malacha. O Dilma, or a third possibility, or maybe our Mishnah is talking about any malacha. It's not being specific to malacha that you need for Yantif, malacha that you don't need for Yantif. Both malachas that you need and that you don't need have to follow the guidelines of our Mishnah, that if you began before Erev Pesach, you can continue on Erev Pesach. If you didn't begin before Erev Pesach, you're not allowed to begin on Erev Pesach. So says the Gemara, let's bring rayas to see what the case of a Mishnah is. Three possible rayas the Gemara is going to have. Raya number one, Tashima, avalo yaskel b'tchil b'arba asar, afilu tziltol katan, afilu shavcha katana. Don't even make the tiniest little belt, a very small thing, on Erev Pesach. So my afilu, what's even? Even something very small. Lav afilu hani del tzorech hamoed migmar in ischulei lo. Aren't we emphasizing that even these things that you might need for Yantif, still you're not allowed to begin doing them on Erev Pesach? You can only finish them. Mechlal de shalol tzorech, which would imply that something that you don't need for Yantif, migmar nami lo gamrinan. You're not even allowed to finish off a job when you don't need it for Yantif. So that would assume like the first possibility, that our Mishnah is about things that are litzorech hamoed. Things that are not litzorech hamoed, you can't do at all on Erev Yantif. So it says Gemara, lo, that's not a good raya. Li'olim d'shelo l'tzorach migmar nami gamrinan. Maybe even things that are lo l'tzorach hamoed, you're allowed to finish on Erev Yantiv. Umay afilu, what are we emphasizing when we talk about this tiny belt? Afilu ani nami d'zutri ninu. We're emphasizing its size. We're not emphasizing that it's something that's needed for Yantiv. What we're emphasizing is that it's very small. The salkatay d'chamina has chalas and zui gemar melachtan naskel b'hu nami l'chadchila. I might have thought that since the beginning the job is finishing the job because it's so tiny, so you could even begin doing it on Erev Yantiv. Kamashman tells me no matter how small a job it is, one is not allowed to begin on Erev Yantiv. Tashma, second raya. Rameir omel kol malacha shi l'tzorach hamoed gomra barba asar. Any malacha that is l'tzorach hamoed, a person is allowed to complete doing that malacha. He's allowed to finish that malacha on Erev Pesach. That's only if you began before Erev Pesach. But if you do not begin before Erev Pesach, even these very small things, you're not allowed to finish on Erev Pesach. You're not allowed to begin on Erev Pesach, rather. Again, a raya. It seems to be that if it's L'tzorach HaMoed, that's when you're allowed to finish the job. But when it's not L'tzorach, you're not even allowed to finish a job that you have previously begun. So says Gemara, no, who adin, that's not a raya. Who adin dafilu shelo l'tzorach nami gamrinan. Really, you're allowed to finish a job even that's not l'tzorach hamoed. V'akamashmulan dafilu l'tzorach hamoed migamarinas. The chiddush is that even something that is l'tzorach hamoed, you're not allowed to begin on Erev Pesach. But to finish off a job that you have already begun from before Erev Pesach, that you're allowed to do. Third raya, says the Gemara, Tashma, Rameir Omer, kol malacha shehi litzorech hamoed. It says beferish, any malacha that's litzorech hamoed, gomra barba asar, v'she'ena litzorech hamoed asar. This raya is as strong as you can get, right? Rameir says it explicitly, that any malacha that's litzorech hamoed, that you've begun previously, you may complete. If it's not litzorech hamoed, even though you began it previously, you may not complete it on Erev Pesach. We can do malach on Erev Pesach until Chatzos, where that's the minug. Makam shenagu in lo nagu lo. That's only where it's the minug. Shema mina letzarech hamoed in shelo letzarech hamoed lo. But the bottom line is, it's a very strong raya that it's that letzarech hamoed it's mutter, but when it's shelo letzarech hamoed it's going to be aser. Now when we say that if you began a malacha on Erev prior to Erev Pesach, so you're allowed to be gomer, you're allowed to complete that malacha. L'maskana, something that's l'tzorach hamoed, you're allowed to complete it. What does that mean you're allowed to complete that malacha? When? Up until chatzos? Or that you're even allowed to complete it after chatzos? Meaning that we saw clear differences between after chatzos yom and Erev Pesach and before chatzos yom and Erev Pesach. All this talk about minag of malacha was all about before chatzos. After chatzos, no one does malacha on Erev Pesach, at least according to the Mishnayos. So this is a machlokas rishonim, how to understand this idea of gomra. The Rambam, the Rush, and the Ran all say that you begin it when you began prior to Erev Pesach, you have to complete it by chatzos on Erev Pesach. Now, it does not give a heter to continue doing malacha after chatzos. And the Rush brings a clear raya to this, because the Mishnah says that we find the Mishnah does not allow doing the three malachos that we speak about, the special jobs that we allow people to work. We only allow that up until chatzos, even when there's no tzorech, there's no greater tzorech for Chol HaMoed than those malachos. So you see, even malachos that they were matir, they were only matir up until chatzos, meaning you have another example in the Mishnah of something that they were matir. So if we're matir a malacha that you've begun previously, and we're matir certain jobs, the launderer and the right and the barber or whatever, so mstama, it's the same heter. Whatever the heter is for those three jobs is going to be the same heter that the same Mishnah talks about for a malacha that was begun previously. So the Rush says that's why it's clear that it's only up until chatzos. However, the Rush quotes Rabbeinu Yonah, who holds that you're allowed to be gomer the malacha the entire day of Erev Pesach, not only until chatzos. And his raya is from the fact that the Braisa says at the end, "Va'osim malacha barvei psachim ad chatzos." B'makom shenagu. sounds like it's only a malach, only malach b'makom shenagu do we have a din of ad chatzos. But the gabi the heter of a gemar malacha, that is not only a din of ad chatzos, that's a din that's all day long. When do we add in the phrase ad chatzos? When we talk about b'makom shenagu, right? This brisa that we just quoted, this third brisa, talks about any malacha that's l'tzorach hamoed, gomra barba asar, nothing about chatzos. Then it talks about osa malacha barve psachim ad chatzos b'makom shenagu, that's where we have the phrase ad chatzos. Where was the phrase ad chatzos in the previous clause? It must be that the previous clause is not only until chatzos, it's all day long. So the Rosh is docha that raya. He says that even the gemar malacha is only mutar ad chatzos, but the braisa has to say it beferish by makom shenagu that the heter is only until chatzos, because that heter malacha is mefurish in the braisa that it says va osin malacha barve psachim. So it needs to emphasize that a little bit more. Okay, whatever it is, but that's the fundamental machlokas rishonim. Says gemar further. So we said that there are three jobs that you're allowed to continue to do, even on Erev Pesach. So Tana, Hachayatin, why is a tailor allowed to continue to work? Shekein hedyot tofer kedarko b'chol shel moed. Because we find that sewing is mutar on chol moed. If we're makel with sewing, a hedyot, if it's, as long as it's not a maisa uman, if a non-professional is allowed to sew on chol moed, so then mistam, if we're makel on chol moed, we could be makel on Erev Pesach. Hasaparin v'akovsin, why is the barber and the launderer allowed to do malach on Erev Pesach? Shekein abamim dinasiyam v'yosim b'sasur m'saparim l'chapsim b'chol shel. Because on Chol HaMoed, we're sometimes makel to take a haircut, we're sometimes makel to wash clothing. If someone comes from Medina Siam, or someone gets out of jail on Chol HaMoed, he's allowed to take a haircut, he's allowed to wash clothing on Chol HaMoed. So since we're makel sometimes on Chol HaMoed, we're going to be makel for these people all the time on Erev Pesach. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af HaRatzonin, that even the shoemaker, why? Shekein Ole Regal, the Misakna Min Alein, B'chol HaShol Moed. Because people are all the regal, are allowed to fix their shoes in Chol HaMoed, because they came a long way. They're allowed to fix their shoes in Chol HaMoed, the shoes that broke on their way coming to Yerushalayim. So b'maykum eflgi, what's the machlokas about the shoemaker? Marsav lemeidin tchilas malacha misof malacha, umarsav lein lemeidin tchilas malacha misof malacha. Meaning the shoemaker makes yes, you're allowed to fix your shoes in Chol HaMoed. That's shoes that already exist. You're not allowed to make brand new shoes in Chol HaMoed. So the machlokas is, do we assume that just because a shoemaker is allowed to work, it means he could do whatever a shoemaker does? That if a shoemaker is allowed to fix shoes on Chol HaMoed, so mainly he's allowed to start new shoes on Erev Pesach also? Do we say, no, those are two different malachos. A shoemaker can fix shoes on Erev Pesach also, just like he could fix shoes on Chol HaMoed. But to make brand new shoes, that he's not allowed to do. So taking a haircut on Erev Pesach, achar chatzos is asur. These things are only mutter up until chatzos. So there's a discussion in the poskim. What about if you have a guy cutting your hair? So that's a machlokas in the achronim. If you could go to a non-Jewish barber, a lot of times people are very busy in Erev Pesach. Things first calm down after chatzos. So can you get a haircut after chatzos in Erev Pesach? Happens to be barbershop is usually pretty quiet with 10 minutes before chatzos. That's usually when after mechiras chametz. 10 minutes before chatzos happens to be pretty quiet. But the Bach quotes from the Ma'aril that you're not allowed to be because you're misayeh biyado also. When a person gets a haircut, the barber says, move your head this way, move your head that way. So you're also participating in getting the haircut. So even if it's a guy, it's not okay. And that's how the Magen Avraham paskens as well in Shulchan Aruch. But he quotes from the Bach, B'shem the Marshal, that you're allowed to do al yidei guy even after chatzos, because it's only the bali umnius that are included in the isser. We don't say that it's an isser on the person who's getting the haircut. The bali umnius are the people that we're talking about, the barber. So if the barber's a guy, he's not subject to that iser. Okay, weiter in the Gemara, next Mishnah. Moshiv and Shovklin, so now we're just going to discuss a variety of different particular malachos. So Moshiv and Shovklin, three halachos in this Mishnah. Moshiv and Shovklin, Tarnagolim, B'yudalid, V'tarnagol, Shabarcha, Machzir, Nosalim, Koma, V'imesa, Moshiv and Acheres, Tachtecha. So halacha number one in the Mishnah is that you could put eggs under a hen on Erev Pesach, and if a hen runs away, you could put it back on the eggs, even on Chol HaMoed. We're going to see. That's the Gemara is going to explain that part, that it's even on Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to put it back. Good. Next halacha. Gorfin mitachas ragle behema biyodalid ubemoed mesalkin letzadin. That the Mishnah, you can sweep under the animals on Erev Pesach, and cholamoed, you're not allowed to sweep out the stalls under the animals, you're only allowed to move the waste to the side of the stalls, but you're not allowed to sweep it out entirely. Third halacha in the Mishnah, malichin kelim umvin mibesu uman, afal pishenim letzorcha moed. A person is allowed to bring kelim to and from the craftsman's house on Erev Pesach, even if you're not going to need it for the yomtiv. You're allowed to bring it to and from the craftsman's shop or house on Erev Pesach. So says Gemara, let's take the first halacha first. We can take one halacha at a time. First one. First halacha we said was that you could put eggs under a hen on Erev Pesach, and if the hen runs away, you can put it back on the eggs, even on the eggs. So hasha, suvi, masvina, adurim, mivai. Well, if I'm allowed to put the hen on the eggs in the first place, obviously I should be allowed to return it when it ran away. What's the chiddush of the second line? So it says, Gemara, Amar Abaye, Seifa, Asad, L'chala, Shemoed. Now the second line is telling me that even L'chala, Moed, I'm allowed to put it back. So on Erev Pesach, I'm allowed to put it there in the first place. L'chala, Moed, I'm not allowed to put the hen on the eggs in the first place, but if it ran away, I'm allowed to put it back. That's only if you can get it back within 3 days of when it ran away, because the heat of the mother is still there in the egg within 3 days, so it's still useful to get it back. We're also only talking if the mother at least has sat on those eggs for at least 3 days, where if you don't get this mother back on these eggs, the eggs are going to be totally ruined. But if the mother has already been gone for more than 3 days, or the mother hasn't even sat on the eggs for a total of 3 days at least, it hasn't even been on the eggs for 3 days, where the eggs won't be ruined by the mother not coming back, then lo ma'adrinan, then you're not allowed to put the mother back. Rabbi Ami says even within 3 days of when it sat on the eggs, you're allowed to put it back. So b'maykamifli, what's the machlokas? If you're allowed to put it back when the mother has sat on the eggs for less than 3 days or not, so the machlokas is going to be about marsav lefzim ruba chashu lefzim ulo chashu umarsav lefzim uanami chashu. The issue is that when you have an egg that's been sat on by the mother for less than 3 days, some people will eat it, some won't. Meaning when the egg hasn't been sat on at all, it's just been the egg was laid and that's it. So then everyone eats such an egg. That's a normal egg. But when you have an egg that the hen started to sit on for a while, but it hasn't been for 3 days, if it's more than 3 days, no one's going to eat it. But when it's been for less than 3 days, so people who are a little more of an istinus aren't going to touch it. People who are less of an istinus will be happy to touch it. So that's a hefsid muat, that you're going to have to sell it for a little bit cheaper. But if you have to throw the egg out entirely, that would constitute a hefsid meruba. So to throw the egg out entirely, that we're definitely not going to require. So that's an interesting discussion in the Achronim. To throw out an egg is a hefsid meruba? That's pretty good. So whenever we need a hefsid meruba, all you need is the cost of a single egg. They don't even sell single eggs. It's so cheap. A single egg is a hefsid meruba? So how exactly to be magdir hefsid meruba is a major discussion in the Achronim. Nachal Shiva says that whenever hefsid meruba is always a relative term. It always relates to percentage of the keren, percentage of the value of the item that you're dealing with. So by throwing out the entire egg, well, that's 100%. So that's a hefsid meruba. Whereas if it's if you're dealing with something that was worth $500, now it's worth $450, so even though it's a loss of $50, that's not a hefsid meruba, because as a percentage of the keren, it's not a hefsid meruba. Doesn't always seem to work in halacha that way, that it's all based on percentages. Rabbi Kiveger has a suffix in Hilchos Treifos. You have certain types of treifos where we're making on a hefsid meruba. What if you have many behemoths that have that shayla? For each behema may not be hefsid meruba. When you put them all together, it is hefsid meruba. Does it make a difference if the behemoths are owned by different people that are all owned by the same person? So Rabbi Kiveger raises this issue. Okay, says the Gemara, we have to try to get further over here. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan. Gorfin mitachas, said you're allowed to sweep from under the animals. Tanu Rabbanan, zevel shabachatz mesalkin asal nesadin. The zevel that's in the field, you're allowed to move off to the sides. Shabarefes, shabachatzer, motzino sala ashba. But in the refes or in the chatzer, you could throw it out entirely. So aguvakash, armed zevel shabachatzer, mesalkin asal nesadin. Vadatani shabarefes, shabachatzer, motzino sala ashba. It's a stira. If you have zevel in the chatzer, you have fertilizer in the chatzer, do you remove it over to the side or do you get rid of it entirely? So Gemara has two two approaches to answer. Number one, Amar Rabbi Elokasha. Kan b'yudal, kan b'chol shalmoid. On Erev Pesach, it's different than Chol HaMoed. Erev Pesach, we're a little more makel, we allow you to get rid of it entirely. Chol HaMoed, you just move it to the side. Rava Amar Hava b'chol shalmoed. Vach kamer, im nasa chatzar, kir refes, motzii nosa la'ashpa. All it means to say is, if the chatzar has become so full of fertilizer, that it's become like a refes, then you're allowed to remove it entirely from the chatzar. But if you could just sweep it off to the side, that's what you should do on Chol HaMoed. Malichim kelem mavim beisu uman. The Mishnah said you could bring things to and from the beisu uman. Amra papa badiglan rava tnan. Malichim mavim kelem beisu uman. Afal bishenin l'tzarach hamoed. Even things that you don't need for tzarach hamoed. Or a minuain mavim kelem beisu uman. Vim choshish lan shema yignavu mifanin l'chatzar acheres. You're not allowed to bring kelem from the beisu uman. And if you're worried that they're going to be stolen, just put them in another chatzar. Don't bring them all the way home. Umashanin lo kasha. Kan brabas or kan b'chol shalmoed. The discrepancy can be explained between the difference between Erev Pesach and Chol HaMoed. V'ibai say mahava b'chol shalmoed, or maybe everything is talking about Chol HaShalmoed, v'lo kasha kan b'ma'amino, kan b'sheinu ma'amino. And the difference is, do you trust him or do you not trust him? Do you trust the person to watch over it and to not lose it in the interim? V'atanya mevin kelem b'suman kigon. V'atanya, this is b'nichusa, and the Brisa seems to say just like this. Mevin kelem b'suman kigon, hakad mibes hakada, the pot from the potter's house. V'akos mibes hazagag, and the glass from the glacier's house. Avolot samar tsemer mibes hatzava v'lo kelim mibes uman. But you're not allowed to take wool from the dyer or kelim from the beis uman. V'imein lo mayochol noson oskaro manicho etzlo. And if he doesn't have what to eat, so then you could pay him for it and still leave it in his house. V'imein lo ma'amino, but if you don't trust him, manicho bebayis hasamachlo. Put it in a different house that's nearby. V'imchosh yishem yignavu, if you're afraid it's going to be stolen there, mevin mitzina betoch beiso. Then very quietly bring it back to your house. So tirats the mevin, molichin kasha. That explains at least mevin, whether you trust him or not. That's going to be the whole difference when it comes to mevin. But what about molichin, bringing it to him? So you have to say that the real difference is whether it's Erev Pesach or Chol HaMoed. That explains the stira in mevin and molichin. Okay, we'll pick up from the Mishnah tomorrow.